This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
I'm good, guys. I'm at Dalton.
Doing great. Got a lot we want to talk about, as you might imagine. Last night, Auburn goes on the road in the SEC and wins handily at Missouri by 18 points. And because of Florida's loss and against South Carolina in Gainesville, Auburn's in first place in the SEC in late January. Jason, come on. Nobody saw that coming, right?
No, I don't think so. I think that we thought this was an improved basketball team. I think you could see that from the pre-conference schedule. And you started to see them kind of come together, and you know, you see the growing wins when you go to, you know, to a Middle Tennessee State, to Dayton to win, Murray State, and you talk about, you know, people that might not sound like big basketball wins to an average fan, but people that know basketball know those are pretty good wins when you go on the road and beat teams like that. But it kind of set the table, and then I think the win at Tennessee to start the SEC season, where you get down and come back, I think that was one that probably put this team over the hump from a confidence standpoint, knowing that, hey, it doesn't matter who we have, who we don't have, who we have on the court is good enough to win. And when you do what they did on the road last night at Missouri, and, you know, this team, because of their size, they're going to have trouble rebounding at times, but they make up for it by playing really good defense and creating turnovers, knocking down shots, making free throws, and protecting the rim. You know, they don't rebound great, but against bigger teams like that, but they still protect the rim pretty good. So you look at that win, and that's one where I thought probably one of the three or four toughest matchups for them all year would be going to Missouri, and they handled it pretty well.
You know, you talk about you know, the rebounding, the defense. That's just hustle right there. That's just going out, playing good, hustling, being aware of what's going on, and that is certainly happening with this team. And then shooting the ball. Man, last night, lighting it up from behind the three-point line.
Yeah, you know, they just have to continue to do those things. They have to continue to shoot the basketball. That's what, you know, that's what they're going to live by. And, you know, there'll be a night when they don't fall at all. And we've seen halves of that, you know, where they struggled to make threes and do those things. And, you know, actually didn't get off to a very good start again last night. But
no.
The way they've been able to overcome it is by taking the ball to the basket and get to the free throw line and knocking down those free throws. And it's enabled them to withstand some dry spell. And that's something they haven't been able to do the last couple of years. If the threes weren't going down, they didn't have an answer. Well, now they're able to go in and at least try to get to the free throw line to make some free throws and knock some shots down there. And but when they go down, and it's a confidence thing. The more you make them, the more you do it in pressure situations, the easier it becomes. And we've seen this team now start to really kind of get on a roll and making those threes. And because of that, teams are having to extend further and further. And when they do that, I think you're going to see, you know, guys like Mustafa Heron, and I think we saw Chimo Kiki last night, you know, knock down some shots from the perimeter. I think those guys are going to continue down to have more of that mid-range game again.
Yeah, Auburn had hit 23 of 26 free throws last night in the game. And I remember, I think I got the sequence right, Jason, where Missouri made a bit of a run and got it to well inside single digits in the deficit. And then it seemed like Jared Harper hit three threes in about a minute, and there's your ball game right there. It always seems to be somebody else here and there. Harper had a big game last night with 21. Anthony McLemore, you mentioned, you know, protecting the rim. He had six blocks last night. They're getting contributions literally from everyone.
Yeah, and that's been the key. You talk about next man up mentality, and
yeah,
I think you look at the way this team has done it. It's not necessarily next man up. It's the next turn. It's your turn now to go do it. And, you know, I think you look, and obviously Bryce Brown has been kind of the probably the most consistent of those, Mustafa Heron. But you look, and, you know, Deshaun Murray probably kept him in the game last night in the first half with the way he played. But you look, and there's four players averaging in double figures. Bryce Brown, Mustafa Heron, Jared Harper, Deshaun Murray. Then, you know, you have three more that are averaging, you know, over 5 points a game. And that didn't include Horace Spencer, Davion Mitchell, who give you some good minutes and do some good things. So you're talking about all nine players average basically 5 points a game. So you just take that as it is. You're talking about 45 points a game just if nobody does anything outstanding. But you start looking at the way these guys are doing. This team's shooting 78.4% from the free throw line.
Wow.
Blocking shots. They're doing all the things that you have to do to win games. And, you know, right now it's paying off.
Jason Caldwell, AUTigers.com, set up Saturday in Auburn for the LSU matchup Saturday at 5 o'clock. Set that one up for us in terms of its importance and the challenges you see there.
Yeah, you know, LSU, you look, and man, that team is probably about as explosive as anybody right now that you have in this league. They're dynamite with Tremont Waters leading the way. I mean, he is. You know, he kind of gets overlooked when you talk about freshmen and doing the things that these freshmen are doing around the league. But, well, he has been outstanding. And I think, you know, that's going to be another challenge. You know, Jared Harper will have to play well again, but he's averaging 15.7 points a game, 6.1 assists. And then you look at Duop Reese, big man inside, 13.8 points, almost six rebounds a game. They've got some really talented players. And you look and it's pretty easy to go, man, you lose all these talented guys they've had the last couple of years. How are you better? But they're better. Even though their record's 12-7 right now, they're a better basketball team because of coaching. You can see the difference in the way they do things. And so I think it'll be a challenge. And they lost three in a row, but then, you know, played Texas A&M at home and just blast them the other night. So this is a team that's very capable of coming in and doing Auburn some damage on Saturday.
Jason Caldwell joining us here this morning. Obviously, Auburn basketball playing incredibly well. A big win on the road at Missouri last night. Saw earlier this week, Jason, that they've announced the dates for the start of spring football. Seems to be getting earlier and earlier. What? Any reason why they want to start so early?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because it allows you to utilize more of that early evaluation period in the spring. So the earlier you do it and you get spring practice done, it allows you then to turn your full attention to going on the road in that spring evaluation period in May. So you get it done, you know, the 8A game will be April 7th. So you can get those things done. It gives you a little bit of time to kind of get a plan to go on the road and to do the things you have to do in that evaluation period. So I think as much as anything, that's it. And you know, I think back to Tommy Tuberville. They had a couple where they started spring practice very early in February. And so I think it's something that has been done before. And I think after doing it last year, Gus Malzahn really liked the break around A-Day, I mean around the spring break, to kind of give the players a breather. And then you kind of come back and go, okay, let's see, you know, how much these guys have remembered, how much we need to go back. And I think it was kind of a refresher course for them. So I think they liked the way it worked last year, and I would expect that'll continue.
Jason, with this weekend, as basketball goes on, it's obviously a prime recruiting weekend. Set that one up for us, particularly with some of the local guys. I know Auburn gets a commitment from Roger McCreary, so you know there's constantly progress in that regard. What about this weekend?
Yeah, you know that was a really important one because of the position. I think he's a really talented player that really in December kind of blew up. But, you know, if you look now and that's between 15 signees and 8 commitments, that's 23 for Auburn and only going to be 26 and 1 counted back. So there's only 3 spots left in this class to finish things up. So it is very tight. A couple of visit weekends left. And obviously this weekend you look and one of the guys coming in is already signed with Auburn, Seth Williams, the wide receiver out of Paul Bryant High in Tuscaloosa. But looking, Justin Ross, the other big name wide receiver coming in this weekend from Central Phoenix City, obviously a tremendously talented player. And then you look at defense, pass rush, kind of the three guys that are expected to come in as well in terms of Caleb Tanner, kid from over in Georgia, Quay Walker, who's an Alabama commitment as a linebacker / pass rusher. And then Caleb Johnson is a kid from Columbus. So, you know, guys that all have short car trips to get over this weekend. And I would imagine that the centerpiece will be that 5 o'clock basketball game on Saturday to let those guys kind of take in that atmosphere. So it should be a pretty good time.
Jason, I'm interested in some of the things heading into spring practice. J.B. Grimes coming back in to coach the offensive line. That was sort of a seamless deal. When Herb Hand left, it was an almost immediate hiring of J.B. Grimes, and he comes in. He's got a lot of things to try to establish with that offensive line in spring, doesn't he?
Yeah, no question. You're looking. There's some talent there, but just not much experience. The experience comes from Prince Tega, probably two-thirds of the year as a starter. Mm-hmm. Markell Harrell and Mike Horton combined to start the entire season at the left guard position. So you got three guys back with experience. That's pretty much it. Mike Horton, I think, will get a look at center in the spring. But I think the positive for Auburn is that all of the guys that are going to be counted on, other than maybe Nick Brom, he was kind of a Herb Hand a little bit later in the process. All the guys that would be counted on to play are guys that J.B. Grimes recruited, even a couple of the redshirt freshmen in Calvin Ashley and Austin Troxell. So he's very familiar personality-wise and game-wise with all the guys he's going to be coaching now. Obviously, a couple of years removed for some of these guys on the field, they'll look a little different. But he knows the offense, he knows what's expected there, and he knows the guys. And I think that's probably a really good starting spot when you have to do the things they've got to do in the spring. So I think it's going to be you talk about seamless. I think it's about as seamless as you can get when you make a move.
Final thought here, and it's conversation that John and I and many of our listeners had earlier in the week about Carlton Davis, who we had been told left Peach Bowl practice because he was ill. And some of the players are saying it was because he really kind of wanted to protect himself heading into the NFL draft. Number one, were those players' accounts factual in your experience? And number two, how does that play out among the players and the coaching staff and Carlton Davis? Do you think that was the proper move to make?
Yeah, it's not the move as a college football fan in general, somebody that loves the sport, and it's not something that I enjoy. But as somebody who understands the side of things that these kids are on, I understand it from their perspective. It never was public, but I think it was pretty common knowledge that was probably more of to do with Carlton kind of protecting himself and moving forward than the actual sickness. And I think it was just a way of kind of protecting that, going into the bowl game. So it's mentioned, I'm sure, for, some of those guys, especially senior guys, it probably didn't sit very well, but I don't think it's something that's a huge issue for them because they understand in the grand scheme of things, it was a business decision for him, knowing that he's going to be a guy that's pretty highly drafted. And we've seen other guys do it before. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be done more and more again. So I don't think it's I don't think it's a huge deal in the end.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future with players that think they've got a good shot in the NFL draft. Hard to blame them, no doubt about that.
Jason Caldwell, so much information on everything happening. And by the way, Auburn baseball had a fantastic recruiting class. They've got a lot of new faces that they're trying to assimilate into the program. Jason and Mark cover that as well at AUTigers.com. How do people sign up and sign in, Jason?
Yeah, you can check us out at AUTigers.com, part of the Scout 24/7 network. And I can also find me on Twitter at ITATJ.